International connection there with the Spanish, international connection here now with the Americans. And by day, Ed Swanson is a local reporter in Vermont, but by night he researches and writes historical thrillers. His latest work is based on the legend of a famous Welsh prince, Prince Madoc, who, according to folklore, sailed to America in 1170, more than 300 years before Christopher Columbus got there in 1492. Now, Ed's thriller, Madoc's Legacy, is set in America's upper Midwest in 1847 during the copper boom and features a mysterious and rather brutal tribe descended from ancient Welsh, would you believe? Now, I spoke to Ed in snowy Vermont and asked him what originally had sparked his interest in this ancient Welsh legend.
I've always had an interest in speculative history, alternative theories, the arcane, the esoteric, that sort of thing. Yeah. Add to that Welsh heritage, at least in part.
Yeah.
And the legend of Prince Madoc was a big draw for me.
A meaty subject to research because there's a lot about him. You know, a lot of myth, of course, and fact and fiction are interwoven, but there does seem to be substance there.
Sure. Well, there are quite a few Native American oral traditions, as well as archaeological finds, that do shore up the whole Madoc argument. Indeed, there's kind of a tapestry out there that does bring together a scene of these Welshmen coming and colonizing the New World and sort of being dispersed.
Let's just consider the evidence then, really. What were the most compelling pieces of evidence that, you know, that you came across?
Well, in Carthage, Tennessee, there were caves discovered that contained white mummies. Some of them were blonde and auburn-haired. And this was discovered in the early 19th century. There was an ancient fort not far from there in southeastern Tennessee. And sure, through the course of American history, the native cultures here have had very advanced civilizations. But it still stands that this particular fort is unlike anything that Native American cultures built around here.
Yeah.
And in Indiana, there's another fortress on the Devil's Backbone, as it's called. And that's near the Ohio River, which is one of, many folks theorize, one of the major conduits for the Welsh-American travel back then. And it's just unlike anything that American Indians would have produced.
Yes. But then there's the discovery of these, well, skeletons with iron, or was it brass breastplates?
Iron breastplates.
Yeah.
And that's actually a well-documented case. And again, that takes us to the Ohio River, where it's theorized they came from the Alabama River.
Yeah.
And in 1799, according to a local antiquarian named Thomas Hind, there were six breastplates unearthed that bore the mermaid and harp of the Welsh coat of arms during that time period.
Yeah. Now, of course, the novel is set during the copper boom, hundreds of years after Madoc supposedly first set foot in America. What made you choose that time and place then?
Well, I guess the biggest factor was that Madoc's Legacy, while it certainly can stand alone, is a sequel to my first novel, which took place in 1847. And Madoc's Legacy follows the core cast of characters from the first book, north to Upper Michigan on a trapping expedition. And despite American Indian legends of these horrible, wrathful copper gods, they decide to set up shop, if you will, in the homeland of the Welsh Indians, which is a very desolate and mysterious area.
Yeah. And a lot of Welsh and Cornish miners were recruited to that area.
They were prized among mining men. They had centuries of skill and tradition to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And yes, they were the most highly prized and sought after workers.
Yeah. And one of them, I gather, without giving too much of the plot away, one of them is a Welshman, obviously, who gets captured by the tribe, and they get a certain sort of step back surprise when he is able to understand them and talk in their language.
That's right. Yeah. I figured giving an insider's look at the Welsh Indians and what their culture is like and their encampment would be more interesting from that Welsh perspective. Here's somebody who was familiar with the language and the culture that at least this one was derived from. And he also was very familiar with the legend, the language, everything that was Welsh about these people, he understood.
I gather you got your tongue around quite a few of these Welsh names now.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that I've learned the language. No. I did try to wrap my head around different aspects of it, what makes it so very unique. And I really enjoyed that part of the research. And I listened to a lot of Welsh to sort of understand the cadence and the delivery. The persistence of the Welsh language was another factor. It might seem far-fetched that a Welsh Indian tribe in the 19th century would still be speaking something akin to Welsh, but my research did uncover that Welsh has remained pretty steady over the course of its existence.
Yeah.
It's come into contact with multiple cultures and languages, but it still remains true to itself. It hasn't been irrevocably altered or anything.
No, it's borrowed a few words here and there. I was thinking as well, the Welsh tribe in the book, or the Welsh, the tribe which has a Welsh lineage, really, are pretty brutal and not particularly likable at all. So is it because of their way of life having to defend themselves that made them what they are?
Absolutely. When you boil it down, if Madoc and a large group of followers did in fact make landfall in the New World, they would have been faced with a very hostile environment. Sure, alliances could have been made, but I'm sure plenty of enemies would have been made as well. If history has taught us anything, we're not always very tolerant of one another.
No.
And they would have been hemmed in on all sides by peoples of an entirely different race, culture, and belief system. They would have had to become ruthless, cunning, and strong as well.
Is it fair to say that people who believe, in America now, people who believe the myth of Madoc are often considered there to be slightly, how shall I put it delicately, off the wall?
Well phrased. Modern mainstream archaeology, they raise hackle at the very thought of this.
Oh, do they?
Yet it does remain that there is archaeological evidence and ethnographic evidence in the form of American Indian oral traditions that do back up this claim. According to the Cherokee oral tradition, a people called the Welsh built forts and settled along different rivers in what became the United States. And they were known as the Moon-Eyed People to the Cherokee. And by that, it's interpreted having light eyes.
All right.
And after a massive battle on the Ohio River at a location called Sand Island, which I should mention is where those breastplates were unearthed, the Welsh-American tribes sort of scattered. Some went west along the Missouri River and presumably became the Mandans, which they were quite unlike any of the surrounding tribes. Light complexions, they had light-colored eyes, and indeed their hair did go white, which was unlike many native tribes. And in fact, an artist by the name of George Catlin was so very convinced that they were a Welsh-derived tribe that he actually documented the words and cadences that were in keeping with the Welsh language. He also made many portraits of the Mandans that demonstrated those lighter eyes and overall different facial features than nearby Indian tribes. And I also found in my research that this tribe, like some others nearby, they tended to paint their faces and use bear fat to make their hair darker in appearance. That was considered attractive.
Yes.
Which people who would argue the fact tend to point to. They say these were a very dark people with dark hair, when the fact of the matter was the makeup, if you will, that they employed sort of masked any lighter features that would have been readily visible.
Yeah.
If one is willing to look and sort of piece together the puzzle, you can piecemeal put together the legacy of Madoc and his people.
Yes. What about your own Welsh heritage then? Well, you must have found out a fair bit about that during your research.
Well, some, not a ton, not an overwhelming amount.
Yeah.
The little that I do know is that they hailed from the Cardiff area.
All right.
And they bore the proud stamp of horse thieves.
Did they really, Will?
And
fairly
yes.
Normal for sections of the society then, I would have thought.
None too illustrious, I can assure you of that, but Welsh nevertheless.
Join the club. Because we're all of us here over this side who actually look too deeply into our genealogy. I certainly find there are a few skeletons here and there.
Yes, I suppose if you peer too deeply, they do tend to come on Earth. Well, hey, a man's got to eat.
Yeah, exactly right. Do you have an affinity with horses, by the way?
I do, yes.
Well, there we go. It's in the blood. And a question now. Have you been to Wales?
I have not been to Wales, but that is something I'm hoping to remedy.
Oh, we'll back you up. in saying that Prince Margaret definitely discovered parts of America. And don't you be too long before you come over here now.
I will see what I can do. And honestly, if I had my druthers, I'd say that it's high time for a Welsh archaeological expedition to the States.
Isn't it just?
In search of Prince Madoc.
Yeah. Isn't there a trust over there, the money of which we could touch into?
I wouldn't hold your breath, but...
we'll see anyway. Ed, good luck to you. Bye-bye now.
Take care. Thank you.
There we are. Well done. One of the nicest descendants of Welsh horse thieves that I've ever come across, really. Author Ed Swanson. They're chatting about his latest novel, Madoc's Legacy, published by River Run and available to purchase online. Madoc. His name is everywhere, isn't it? Porth Madoc. Tree Madoc. They're in the north. But in the south, of course, we've got Llan Madoc as well.
East is east and west is west, and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where you'll keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows, rings and things and buttons and bows. Don't bury me on the lone prairie, take me where the seamed grows. Let's move down to some big town where they love a gal by the cut of her clothes, and you'll stand out in buttons and bows.